Hey, this is Tom.
And this is Gavin, and you're listening to Keep It Simple. Keep It Simple is a podcast devoted to exploring life with Christ through simple, organic expressions of the church. Hey, welcome. Welcome to Keep It Simple podcast. Appreciate you guys chiming back in. And last couple weeks, I've kind of been running the point on some of the topics. So I'm gonna let Tom kind of lead the way a little bit today and share some things that he's kind of been stirring in his heart. Hey, before I do though, I would like to just kind of, I was telling Tom before we got started, this is an awesome little book. And it's called In the Name of Jesus by Henry Nouwen. And just, we had a simple church retreat. I guess it's been, golly, back in the fall now at this point. And we really went through this book. And it's just a great little book. I think in some ways, if there were to be the possibility of a Catholic priest writing a book to help people lead simple church, this would be it. And there's just a lot of really good concepts in there. And it's sort of a different kind of take. Again, it doesn't translate exactly to what we're doing, but it's just a great book on leadership, and really, really highly recommend that. So, and also, we will be getting ready for, we'll be having the Simple Church Retreat again coming up in the spring. I've been working on some on that and getting that together, so we'll have some information about that coming up soon. But Tom, why don't you kick us off and get us going into our topic today?
All right. So, I've been thinking about this a lot. I've been listening. I'm a podcast listener as well as a podcaster. But a recent podcast was talking about, how did we develop the statements of faith that churches have, the creeds, the Apostles' Creed, the Westminster Confession, things like that. It was a pretty good education. So that made me think, as a simple church, whether you're just a group of people in your neighborhood meeting together, or if you're part of a big network that belongs to a denomination, do you have a statement of faith that you use, and what would you use it for? Gavin, do you all have a statement of faith, or do you?
Yeah, I've thought about this topic. You kind of pitched it out to me, I think. We were a part of the Christian Missionary Alliance. Maybe mm-hmm. we'll talk about that at some point. That was a real benefit, I think, of that, is that they have all those things spelled out, and yeah. you don't really have to think through it. And you're just like, yeah, this is, I agree with these things. You can yeah. point to that, and people have questions about it. So right now, I would say that we don't have like an officially voted on, adopted statement of faith in our house church.
That's okay.
In our particular house church. So
I'm thinking if you're just starting out with house church, you're probably not going to have one. But let me back it out. And let's just say you're moving to a new city and you're looking for a church, whether it's a brick and mortar church or whether it's a house church, or, you meet in a coffee shop or whatever. What do you want to know about that church? What are some of the things that are important? Is it like, what are they going to serve for lunch? Or is it more like, what do these guys believe? Do I want to lend my energy to someone who believes completely different from me or slightly different? And a lot of this has to do with denominations, which we'll probably talk about later. But right now, let me just say that, I've moved around quite a bit. In the military, I was moving from place to place, and we were always looking for churches. One of the first things that we wanted to know is, what do you believe? What do you practice? What do you have a statement of faith? And a statement of faith is just kind of a guideline. It's a man written document that says, okay, this church at such and such, this is what we believe. Most big churches will just adopt their denomination's statement of faith. Some smaller churches will say, well, we just believe the Apostles' Creed, and that's good enough for us. Things like that. We'll talk about the Apostles' Creed a little bit later. But So it can be helpful in helping to find like-minded people. It can be helpful to kind of be a yardstick, you know, for especially for a new believer. You know, anytime you study systematic theology, what you're doing is you're taking the Bible, which is, you know, 66 books put together, and you're systematizing what this is really saying. What is it saying? So it is, yes, it's a man-made process, but it is spirit-led. Even the canon, what came into this, became what we know as the Bible, that was spirit-led, but man done. It was done by man. So whenever we look at systematic theology, we're taking this big, thick book and saying, okay, well, if you want to know about what Jesus said about this, here it is. We've taken the time, and we've studied this, and we've written it down for you, and we've systematized it. Again, it's a man-made purpose. The best way is, you know, go to the scriptures. But, you know, for a new believer, you hand them the Bible and say, well, figure it out. That's like, you know, handing somebody a tax code and saying, do your taxes. You know, it's like
it's a little different than that, maybe. It would be like handing them a tax code and saying, and we're going to let the tax attorney jump inside of your heart and help you understand it as you read it.
Or you get TurboTax with it, you know. But the idea is, you know, unless you've read the Bible, you know, at least once, it's kind of a daunting task. Otherwise, it's just, well, where's that scripture that says I got to do this? And where's that scripture? What's the Old Testament? What's the New Testament?
So let me ask you a question. Huh? Okay, let me ask you a question. So
not about taxes.
Not about taxes.
Nothing about taxes.
So this, okay. So when you're thinking about simple church, house church type things, like this idea of a statement of faith. What do you think are what's the value of having a statement faith? Mm-hmm. Maybe pros and cons. Like, what would be the value of adopting or coming up with a statement of faith for a house church?
Well, first of all, let's back up. What is the value of a
statement of faith? That's why I was backing up. So we're backing up even further.
What's the value of having a statement of faith or studying a statement of faith? Now, I'm not saying you as a church must adopt a statement of faith, but I think deep down we're all thinking, well, I want to gather with people who are sort of like-minded, you know? So the value of a statement of faith is, first of all, just like the tax code book, it can help you sort out what is true proper belief according to the scriptures. What is a true proper belief, and then what is off the rails belief? What is a tangent? What is heresy? You know, we have to talk about heresy as well. So a statement of faith can help you sort that out. What the thing I want to talk about is, if you want to start with a statement of faith, let's keep it simple. Go back to one of the first statements of faith, which was the Nicene Creed, or some people, you know, there's a variation of it that's called the Apostles' Creed, the Athanasius Creed. It was one of the first attempts of some godly men who were addressing heresy and untruth and just saying, hey, well, that's not true, but let's write down what is true and compare it. And, you know, we're saying this about God based on these scriptures, not based on, you know, well, this is what I think, this is my feeling I have today. You know, they were led by the Holy Spirit, and they sat down and wrote a very simple statement of faith.
Can I interject in here a little
bit?
So here's what I would say about this conversation, okay?
Yep.
Like, I read, like, the Apostles' Creed, you know, these things. I read them, and I don't have any problem. I'm like, no, I believe this. This is what I believe.
Right.
I believe these things. Now, right. It sort of takes me back. In previous podcasts, maybe way back, you know, we talked about the bullet test. And right. For me, that's, hey, what are the things that you believe so strongly in that if someone puts a gun to your head, you're going to take a bullet for those?
Okay.
Now, maybe there are some things on some of those creeds that you might be saying, well, I'm 90% sure, but I don't know that I'm going to die. So I think that list shrinks up for us. And I think a creed can, these statements of faith can be helpful in helping us to kind of maybe zero in on, okay, as a community of Christians, like what are the basics? What are the essential doctrines, beliefs mm-hmm. about God that if we're going to welcome people into this group or or at the very least we can say, this is what this group is about.
Right.
Now, I think the problem sometimes I have on the other side of like even, and I've had these conversations with people in house church that want to talk about doctrinal statements, statements of faith, these things, is that to me, and this is just more of a personal bent, probably more than anything, is that I think sometimes those things are used to determine who we're not going to have to talk to or have a relationship with. And so much about simple church and house church, it's a relational experience where, like to me, if someone says, hey, I don't believe these things, then that's like a great opportunity to say, yeah. Well, that's awesome. Like, then let's get to know it. Let's talk about these things. Like,
yeah.
I want to hear what you have to say. I want to hear why you don't believe in these things. And it's an opportunity for relationship, which is where God oftentimes works through relationship, as we talked about a lot in house church. So to me, like, I think sometimes, and even in history, these things have been used to kind of determine who they're not going to have to relate to. And I think that sometimes I've found statements of faith or things like this to be helpful in house church, because sometimes you do have people that want to come in and they have an agenda, or they're like, well, I'm looking for a group of people that, you know, doesn't believe in the Bible or whatever, that whatever. It kind of says, well, hey, I don't think this group would be an opportunity. This is probably not the place for you, because here are the things that we sort of say we agree on,
right.
You know. And for, mm-hmm. I know, like for us, like we don't have a sort of statement of faith, but we kind of do. I mean, I kind of do in my mind. Like people say, well, what's important to you? Like, well, here are the things that are important to me. Like for people that are going to be meeting in this group, like I would think, you know, we would say these are our values, or these are the things that we're valuing here and find important. And we're at the very least looking to Jesus for all matters and wisdom and understanding.
Right.
You know, we're going to take a bullet for Jesus Christ as the Son of the living God, as died on the cross, rose on the third day, as being the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but through him. You know, those are the things, you know, at least for me, just rattling off the top of my head. And then out from there, it's like, man, am I not going to have fellowship with you or welcome you into my home to have to meet up if you have a little different view on this or that or end times or, these things, you know. To me, like, if you're having a statement of faith, it's something that's the bullet test in some ways, and maybe everybody might, because otherwise, it becomes about keeping people out rather than welcoming people in.
Okay.
That's
a fair point. And what I'm not suggesting is this is your litmus test. Like, do you believe this? Oh, don't? Get out.
Yeah.
That's not what I'm saying, because especially new Christians, they're going to have questions. They're going to have, I don't believe the same things I did 30 years ago. My faith has matured, but I'm hoping that it's matured along the lines of Scripture and not based on how I feel. So, having said that, you know, you're not using the statement of faith as, okay, you want to visit my church?
Yeah.
First of all, before you come back, read this. Do you believe this? If you don't, hit the road. That's not what we're saying.
Yeah.
What we're saying is systematic theology, statements of faith, catechisms, these have been developed hundreds and hundreds of years ago because people were wrestling with, well, what does the Scripture say?
Yeah.
I can't understand this big, thick book without the Holy Spirit, but there's some guys hundreds of years ago, thousands of years ago, that went through the same struggle. They had the same questions. They actually wrote it down. They actually wrote down what they thought the answer was. It's not Scripture. It's not inspired, but it's a helpful tool.
Mm-hmm.
And the question I
have. Do you have some we can read?
Yeah, I've got the Apostles' Creed, or the Nicene Creed, the Apostles' Creed. The Apostles' Creed, I will probably it's the simplest one, and I will read it for you. And I'm going to link to a song that would say it better than me, by my buddy Rich Mullins. Rest in peace.
Had to go to the glasses. Those 2.0s.
Hey, you're getting there. All right. Nicene Creed. Apostles' Creed. And these were all developed. I use them sort of interchangeably. They differ in certain phrases and things like that. But the Apostles' Creed is the simplest for me to read to you right now. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. Third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended to heaven and is seated at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From there he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic, little c, Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and life everlasting. Amen. So this is a creed that the Catholic Church uses, the Protestant Church uses, the Anglican Church uses. I'm not sure about the Eastern Church, but it's a very simple systemization of theology.
And I think that things like that can be really, really helpful in a house. You know, if you meet someone, again, like most of the time, my experience, and I know you've had different experiences and we all have had different experiences, but most of the time when we're talking about house church, people don't just necessarily show up. There's been a conversation, there's been a relationship that's had. And so, you know, you're invited by someone that you've developed a relationship with. But sometimes, and there have been these times when people might pull you aside and say, hey, they maybe have some weird belief or some doctrine that they're looking for a group of people to kind of get in there and stir some things up with. Yeah. And so I think those things can be helpful to say, well, you know, we believe in the Apostles' Creed. You know, it's pretty much Orthodox Christian belief, and that's kind of what we're about. If you're wanting to be about something other than that, or your views, you're at least not looking to understand that type of view or grow in understanding what it means to be a Christian and looking to Christ and God's Word, then this probably is not the group for you. Maybe we can have coffee, and I'd love to, but it's probably not going to be something you're going to be at home in, in a setting like house church. This is for people who believe this. It's for people who are looking to Christ and are, you know, put their faith in Him, or wanting at the very least to say, I'm coming here to look to Christ because I want to learn more about Jesus and what it means to follow Him.
Right. And my point is, this isn't to exclude people or include people or just say, hey, you know, you're in, you're out. And this isn't to say that people come to any church with questions, because they do. And this is just a way to help answer those questions. Let me just explain how our church developed, you know, a statement of faith. And by develop, I mean steal. We stole one. And that's fine, because it's public domain, I hope. But our church started growing. It grew from a group of about 30 people in one room, and it started growing to 50 people, and it started splitting up. And as people found out about us, they wanted to come and visit, but they also, about at least half of them, wanted to see a statement of faith. They wanted to know what we're about. And so we met that need. You know, we didn't think about it until that need came up. So here's how we developed our statement of faith. We looked at the background of where our members came from. You know, the people that had been there for a while, the elders and the strong families that had been there for a while. We looked at their backgrounds, and then we just assembled. We went on the internet and we looked at 10 different statements of faith from various mainline churches, big churches, mission agencies, and we looked, and they were very similar on certain things. And since we're non-denominational, we don't lean toward any one denomination except, you know, we call ourselves evangelical, not the political kind of evangelical, but the traditional evangelical as it's defined, you know, by Barna. You know, we want our faith to be known. That's basically evangelical. Good news. So we took those 10 and we just kind of looked at them and we looked for extremes. And by extremes, I mean like there were some that, that came from, I don't know, I want to say tenets of faith that are not important, but that their denomination thinks they're important. And we kind of not tossed them aside, but we just kind of said, no, that's, we won't include that. And we just kind of vanillaized it without taking the scripture out, so that if you were a missionary coming from Europe and you saw our statement of faith, you'd say, amen, brother, I like that. So that's how we developed a statement of faith, and it was to answer questions of people who wanted to come and visit, come and join us. We've also used it, I won't say we weaponized it, but we've had to at one time or another, we've had people come in and challenge certain tenets of that. And, you know, that's our bullet test. You know, we had people come to us, hold guns to our heads metaphorically and say, do you really believe this? Is this what your church is about? And we've had to say, that is, if that's what we're about, mm-hmm. and we're not about what you're teaching. So we've come across some boundaries mm-hmm. boundaries. Not to say that, you know, everybody in our church, they have to sign it or we're going to put a bullet to their head. No, that's not what I'm saying at all. It's just that when people have questions, it's good to have a systematized faith mm-hmm. that they can see on a piece of paper and say, well, okay, this church is mostly about that, you know, 90%, mm-hmm. 80%. I can deal with that. I can live with that.
Yeah.
Does that make any sense?
No, it makes sense. And I think anytime, you know, some folks, this might come up earlier than some sooner than others. I think that anytime a group of people comes together and says, what do we really, really believe? Mm-hmm. You know, again, like a lot of things, like it's one thing to say, oh, here's what we believe. Put that down on a piece of paper. Oh, good. Oh, yeah, mm-hmm. that's what I believe. But do we really believe it? Right. That's the thing. Like, yeah. Not just like, do we say we, you know, is it in our head? But are these things really true in our heart? Like, do we really, like, is this really, really, really what my life is about and what, you know, I believe, like, at my very core, like, wrestling with that, coming to grips with that, saying, yes, this is what I do believe. Like, mm-hmm. man, I think any community, any individual, anybody that were to do that, there could be nothing that could good come from that process right. of working through that, you know. Yeah. I think sometimes, like, I have had this experience, and again, this is just my opinion. I wouldn't recommend, I don't know that necessarily, this is the first thing you have to do if you're out there thinking about house church. Like, for some people, maybe it is, but I feel like it can sometimes, like, trying to figure out, maybe that's a personal matter that you're wrestling with rather than this is what I'm going to say everybody in this group's going to believe, you know. No. Because we do want to encourage people to, more than anything, like something like the Apostles' Creed you just read, like, hopefully we're encouraging people to really adopt them, not just intellectually, but like we said, in their heart. And so that's a process for people, and they'll enter into that at different places. So,
well, for instance, most of that Apostles' Creed was about what? The Trinity, right? I have to admit, I believe the Trinity. Can I explain the Trinity satisfactorily? I don't know if I could. Mm-hmm. But I believe it. It's in the scriptures. It's taught repeatedly in the scriptures. These guys wrote down a summary of what the belief in the Trinity says. So it's a guideline for me to encourage me to maybe go in and read more. What a statement of faith probably should not be, and maybe this would go back to values, a statement of faith needs to be scriptural. It needs to have its roots in scripture and not what's going on around us, not what's cultural, okay? Especially now, our culture is changing. We cannot change what the Bible says. We do so at our own peril. Now, our values, if social justice is what your church is about, that's great. That's fine. Make sure your theology, though, is biblical. Maybe you value, you know, missions, or maybe you value the poor, things like that. Those are all good. They're not anti-biblical. But if you're valuing things that come from a culture that is not biblical, there's where that boundary comes. You have to have a boundary. My boundary, personally, is if it's not in the scripture, if the scripture can't support it, if the scriptures actually forbid it, I can't support it. Mm-hmm. Does that make sense?
Makes sense. Yeah. What about you guys? Is this guy losing his mind over here? Tom, I appreciate you bringing this topic up, and I'd love to hear if you guys out there, is this something that you've thought about? How have you all worked through it? Let us know. We're working through it ourselves, so we'd love to hear from you. SimpleChurchAlliance.com. We have values, beliefs, things that are there that tend to kind of be centered around what, in my mind, Simple Church is about and what I'm trying to encourage. So I think these sorts of things, and being clear about what we're about, what we're not about, what we believe, what we value, are those the same things? Maybe, maybe not. We'd love to hear from you all on it. And you have it, maybe your house church. Do you have a house church? You all have a statement of faith. I'd love to see it. That'd be really cool. Maybe we could share that on the Keep It Simple podcast website. It'd be cool to have a collection. Maybe that'd be a really neat, you know, future in the next episode or down the road. We could even read some of those. That would be really awesome. So if you have one, man, share it with us. That might be helpful.
If there's one you've adopted, or if you've been through like the catechism of the Westminster Confession of Faith, if you've done something like that and it helped you, you know, let us know.
Or has it not been helpful? Let's hear that too. Maybe there was a time it was like, well, we thought this was helpful, but then it ended up becoming more of an issue.
More divisive.
Or whatever. So, very, very good questions. Very good topic. But appreciate it. I think that's a wrap on this one.
Yeah, let us know.
We look forward to you guys join us next time. We always... It's kind of a cliche, like, subscribe, tell a friend, share.
Smash the like button.
It does help. And if you're out there and you're enjoying this or getting anything from it, let us know. It always is encouraging. But thanks for joining us on this episode of Keep It Simple, Simple Church Podcast. We'll see you next time.
Thank you, Gavin.
Thanks, Tom.
Thanks for listening to Keep It Simple. If you've enjoyed this podcast, leave us a comment at keepitsimplepodcast.com. Or find us on iTunes or Facebook. We welcome your feedback, your ratings, your questions, or comments.